Okay, we're holding on Pesachim Daf Chav Zayin, at the very bottom of Chav Vav Amud Bet. We just mentioned that it was Rabbi Eliezer's Shita who prohibited something which was a product of mutter contributing factors and usser contributing factors. And now we're going to try to clarify how we know that to be the case. Which Shita of Rabbi Eliezer does that reflect? Ilema Rabbi Eliezer, this or if you say it's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer as it pertains to leaven, Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah, Seor Shel Chulin, Vishal Truma, Shenaflu Toch Isa. So there was truma and chulin leaven that fell in together, and neither one of them had enough to make the bread rise. But together they made the bread rise. Rabbi Eliezer Omer achar achron aniba. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I follow the whatever fell in last would make it usher, even if neither one of them. If the thing that fell in last is usser, then even if it didn't have enough by itself to make the bread leaven, it's still going to be usser. Chamim ben shenafal Israel lechachil ben shenafal Israel v'sof l'lamino usser. Chamim say no, it's zev zeh gorem. Neither one of them can be fully attributed credit for the sake of the bread, and therefore they're not going to be usser. Ad shehebo kedei lahachmitz, unless one of them has enough to do it on its own. But Amar Rabbi, lo shano elish karam misilekta iser, v'lo karam misilekta iser aser. But Rabbi elaborates on Rabbi Eliezer's shita, and that is to say that he only teaches this when you went ahead and removed the first thing that fell in. Meaning, why does he follow the achron? Because before the achron fell in, you took out the first thing. However, if you didn't do that, then it would be aser. Meaning they're both in there, it's going to be aser. Almad zevzeh gorem aser. So we can see from Rabbi Eliezer's Shita that if two things are in there and they're both contributing towards the final product, one of them's aser, one of them's mutter, and neither one of them by themselves has enough to fully complete the product, still it's going to be aser. Mimai detama de Rabbi Eliezer ke abaye. How do you know that Rabbi Eliezer is svara is like a bias svara, that the whole difference is whether you took it out first or not? Maybe Rabbi Eliezer just follows whatever fell in last. Simple as that. Loshano karam v'silek et ha'eser. Loshna karam v'silek et ha'eser. Loshna lo karam v'silek et ha'eser. It doesn't matter whether you took it out or not. Aval bepat achat hachanami deshari. But Bevatachat, if they fell in at the same exact time, so one of them didn't fall in after the other, then it would be mutter. So maybe we could say that Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, Zevzeh Gorem, is going to be mutter. They both contribute, they're going to be mutter essentially, and he only was speaking about it being usser when the isser one fell in afterward. Ela Rabbi Eliezer, the Atzei Asherah. Rather, it's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita about Atzei Asherah that teach us that he holds Zevzeh Gorem is usser. It's not. We learned in the Mishnah that Al Hemena Eitzi Masorim Behana Hesik Behana Tatanor Chadash Yutatz Yashan Yutzan. Right, that if you used Atzei Asherah to flame a furnace, if it's a new furnace, you gotta break it, and if it's an old one, you should wait for it to cool down. Afabo Etapat Asorim Behana. And if you baked bread in it, it's Asor Behana. And if Arvo Be'acheru, then if that bread became mixed up with others, Be'acheru, and then others came mixed up with others into another pile, Kulan Asor Behana. They're all Asor Behana. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yoli Chano Liyama Melach. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you throw in that third pile, at that point, you remove the amount of, bread that was usher in the first place, and then you can benefit from the rest of the third pile. Amrulo, ein pinyon l'avodah zarah. And they said to him, there is no way to redeem the value that the avodah zarah contributed to this pile. So you can't get it out just by getting rid of the value of, what was usher. Nonetheless, we see Rabbi Eliezer expressing the Shita that a new oven needs to be broken and only an old oven is allowed to be cooled off, so it must be his Shita. Emor d'shamad le Rabbi Eliezer b'vodazar d'chamir isura b'shar isurin shabatora mishamad le. Okay, so now you have a proof that Rabbi Eliezer says this regarding a vodazara. Vodazara is a particularly machmir iser in the Torah. How do you know he holds this way about other isurim? Elim ken amai tirmia. If it wasn't Rabbi Eliezer's Shita that we see by Avodah Zarah and applied to other Yisroel in the Torah, who exactly would you attribute this shita to? There's no one else left. This is the only option. And furthermore, we actually have taught explicitly elsewhere that Rabbi Lezer holds the same thing by other Yisrael in the Torah. Am Rabbaye, im timtze lomar zeveze gorem aser. So Rabbaye said, you could say, zeveze gorem is aser, Rabbi, hainu Rabbi Eliezer, and that would, Rabbaye is kind of just making an observation, right, that Rabbi and Rabbi Eliezer would essentially have the same shita, im timtze lomar zeveze gorem muter, and if you want to say that that zeveze gorem, two contributing factors, is muter, right? That is davka because, meaning as a general rule, zevzeh garam be mutter, but here, Rebbe is machmir because the wood that you added gives direct positive impact into the bread. Hani kerot v'kosot v'tzluchot asire, in which case, the... furthermore, Rebbe would agree that bowls and cups and flasks that were forged in this oven would also be aser. Kipligi, okay, so then it seems like Rebbe and Rebbe Eliezer kind of agree on most things. So what do they argue? Kipligi, betanur bekadera. So when it comes to an oven or it comes to a pot, lamanda mezer zegorem aser, aser. So one who says that if two contributing factors, one usr and one mutter, fuel the end result, then these things are going to be usr. L'man damar zevizegorim mutter. L'man mazum zevizegorim mutter shari. But the one who says that if two contributing factors together contribute towards the end result is mutter, then the pot and the oven are going to be permitted. This is because when you're cooking food in a pot, the food is not going to cook until it has enough wood in order to properly cook it. So it must be a product of both the mutter wood and the aser wood, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So if you hold zevzeh garam mutter, so in such a case where you're cooking food in a pot, that's going to be an nafkamin between Rabbi and Rabbi Eliezer. Ikda amri afilu man damar zevzeh garam mutter kedera asura. There are those who say that even if you hold that zevzeh garam is mutter, the two contributing factors, one aser, one mutter, is going to produce something mutter. Still, by the pot, you're going to say it's aser. The hakabel bishula mekame din nitan etzim de'etera, right? Because the pot still had the food in it before the mutter wood was put in, and so the pot was already the food is in the pot over the flame and starts to be cooked by the aser food by the aser flame, and therefore it's going to be aser. Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Tanur Sheisiko beklipe orla o bekashin shel kilay hakerem chadash yutat yashan yutan. So it comes to an oven that was fueled by peels of orla or straw for kilay hakerem. So a new oven needs to be broken and an old oven needs to be cooled off before you're allowed to use it again. Afabo with a pot. Let's say you bake bread in it. Rabbi Omer hapat muter v'chamim omer hapat asura. So Rabbi says pot's mother, chamim says pot's aser. Vatani ipcha. Wait, didn't we learn the other way that Rabbi says that pot that bread is aser because shevach eitzim b'pot, because the aser wood directly gave benefit to the bread, and the chamim the ones who say it's mutter. Shmuel ipcha tani. Right. So Shmuel says yeah. So teach it the other way around. By aim, alternatively, you could say this. Shmuel holds the following principle that in general, Rebbe against an individual, we always paskin like Rebbe. Rebbe against the masses, we don't paskin like Rebbe. Here, in this particular case, it's a little bit different. We do paskin like Rebbe, even though there are multiple people arguing on Rebbe's shita. Still, Shmuel believes we paskin like Rebbe in this case. And what, he didn't think people were going to follow that because, in general, you don't paskin like Rebbe when he's against the masses. Here, he does paskin like Rebbe against the masses. So we switched around what was Rebbe's shita with what was the Rabbanan shita. So we'd ultimately be paskin like Rebbe, but we think we were paskin like the Rabbanan. Bishla al gabi gechalim divrei hakol pat muteret. Right? If you cook it on coals, everyone agrees that the bread is muter. Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel, Rav Yechia bar Ashi amar Rav Yochanan, chad amar lo shanu al gechalim umemot, aval gechalim lo chashot asurin. So one teaches that's only by, you know, kind of smoldering, dying down coals that are basically burnt out. However, coals that are still have some flame in them are going to be asur. And some say that no, even coals with the other one says that even coals still with some flame in it are also going to be mutter. So I understand the one who says that the burning coals are going to produce the iser bread because the bread contains the iser of the coals. The one who says that even the burning coals would produce mutter bread, right? Then, you know, what is this case exactly that Rebbe is saying that the bread is going to be usher because it gets direct benefit from the usher thing that's heating it up? Well, here, the bread is being cooked by a flaming coal, and we don't call it usher. So what's Rebbe's case where the bread is usher because it's being heated by something that's usher? Amra papa ke she avuka kenegdo. Right, only when there's like a proper fire in front of it, that's where it's going to be usher. Because the Rabbana and the Peligia Le, Sharu, is that Sharu filu b'shavuka kenegdo? Okay, is that to suggest that this case that Rebbe was talking about where the pot, where the bread is usher, because it's heated by a flame in front of it, that the Rabbanan argue, and the Rabbanan say in such a case that even still that's going to be mutter, right? Ela etzim de isur le Rabbanan heichem ishkachadlu, right? In which case, you know, what is this case that the Rabbanan say is going to be usur? Meaning if the Rabbanan goes so far as to say that when you have a proper flame in front of the pot that's usur, it's still not going to make the bread usur. Like what case would they ever believe that you're making it usur? Amar Ravami bar Chama be shar shifa, right? Well, the case is like this, where you can't benefit from a product of forbidden wood. It has nothing to do with cooking altogether. It actually has to do with if you make something out of wood, like you know, like a stool, like a bench, you can't sit on it. That's the tangible benefit that comes from making something out of us or wood. But when it comes to cooking, even if it's creating a flame in front of the food, we're not going to consider that us or food. So what if you fueled a fire with wood, not of Vodazara, but of Hekdesh, they belong to the Beit HaMikdash, and then you baked bread? So according to the Rabbanan, who permit the bread that was made from the Eitzim of the Avodah Zarah, what would they say in this case? Amar laya pot asur. So here they would say the pot is going to be usur. Uma bein zo la orla. Sorry, I said Avodah Zarah. I think I said that a couple times. We're talking about orla, right? If it was fueled by orla peels, what's the difference between hekdesh and orla? That the orla is going to be mutter, the hekdesh is going to be usur. Amar Rava Hachi Hashta Urla Betela Vamatai Mekdesh Afil Be'elef Lobatil. They're not comparable at all. Orla, if you lose something that's Orla in a pile of 200 times what you lost, then it's Batal. But Hekdesh, there's no Bittal at all. So Hekdesh is much more Machmir, that's why it's going to be Asir. Ela Amar Rava Ikashi Le Hakashia. Rather, if I have a difficulty, this is my difficulty. V'halo Ma'al Hamasik. Right? That just by cooking it, you know, using that wood, right? That's me'ila, right? That's hektish wood. So you use the wood, it's me'ila. But we have a principle that whenever you use the me'ila wood, it goes to chulin, meaning you did something aser. You weren't allowed to use the hektish wood. Right? You did me'ila. And still, though, it's now going to be chulin. It's no longer hektish once you use it for inappropriate purposes. It's aser, but that has an effect. In fact, it's no longer hektish. So why is the bread aser? Amar Papa, hachavatzei shlamim meskinan. Because we're not dealing with any type of hektish wood. We're talking about the wood used for a shlamim sacrifice. V'alivu d'Rabbi Yehuda, and we're following Rabbi Yehuda shita, the amar hektish b'sholim mitchalel, b'mezid edo mitchalel. Now when it comes to violating, using hektish things intentionally, unintentionally, then those things are then relegated to no longer being hektish. However, if you did it intentionally, then they stay hektish. B'mezid my time alo, why do they not get relegated to chulin after you use them intentionally? B'mezid kivan delav bar me'ilahu lo nafik le chulin, because the whole principle of me'ila, of using hektish things improperly, is doing so unintentionally. So if you did it intentionally, we don't apply me'ila to it, in which case it's not going to go to chulin. Shlamim nami kivan delav bar me'ila ninu lo nafka lechulin. Right? And so similarly, when it comes to the wood by the korban shlamim, these are also not subject to the laws of me'ila. It's not, shlamim is not subject to the laws of me'ila because it's not considered a korban of particularly high sanctity. And so since it's not subject to the laws of me'ila, it's not going to become unconsecrated after you use it. So it's still going to be considered hektish, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that type of wood. So just by using it to cook bread is not going to make it chulin, and therefore the bread remains asur. But I'm going to challenge your very premise. Whenever you have a case where the where someone does me'ila, the what he's using it for goes to chulin. V'hatanya, then we learn in the Braita, kol hanisrafin efran mutar chutz me'ase ashera. Anything that you burn up, the ashes are mutar, except for an ashera, the avefer hektish le'olam aser. And furthermore, the ashes of burnt hektish are always aser. Why are the ashes of burnt hektish always aser? Seemingly, it was improperly used, but the ashes now, why wouldn't they be mutar? Amarami bar chama, kegon shenafla deleika me'aleha ba'atzeh hektish, deleika inish dinimal. Yeah, we're talking about a case where the hektish was just burned up, it got caught in a fire. No one did me'ila in order to turn it into ash, so it would never left its hektish status. Rav Shemaya amar be'otan shete'unin geniza detanya v'samu benachat. Right, so Rav Shemaya gives a different answer. No, in those particular ones, we're talking about the type of things that need geniza, that you're never allowed to use, as the explicit pasuk taught by the Truma Tadeshin, that you put it aside. V'samu kulo, v'samu shalit pazer. Right? So you put it aside, you put it so it doesn't scatter, but that's going to maintain its status as, hektish. It's not going to lose that status as an explicit pasuk that says that you're not allowed to use it even once it's burnt up. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Bior. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says the only way to get rid of chametz is through burning it. Tanya Amar Yehuda Ein Bior Chametz El Esreifa. Right? The only way to get rid of chametz is through, only proper way to get rid of chametz, Erev Pesach, is through burning it. Vahadin Notein. And the and logic would indicate as such, because you can see it from a Kal v'Chomer, Ma Notar She'eino Beval Yirah Val Yimatze Ta'un Sreifa Chametz She'yeshno Beval Yirah Val Yimatze Lo Kol She'ken She'ta'un Sreifa. So what should we say about Notar, which is not subject to the laws of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatze, meaning Notar needs to be burnt, right? But there's no isser about seeing the notar afterward. It still needs to be burnt. Chametz, there's an isser of seeing the chametz in an inappropriate time. Bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Kal v'chomer, it should need to be burnt. Something that you're allowed to see afterward needs to be burnt up. Something that you're not allowed to see, of course it should be burnt up. Amru lo, so they responded to that. Svara kol din sh'ata dan tchilato lahachmir v'sofo lahakil eino din. Right? But he says, no, I'll tell you why it's not a proper kal v'chomer. Because any kal v'chomer that you want to make that starts out as a chumra, right, but ends up as a kula, is not a proper kal v'chomer. I'll explain what that means in a second. Lo matza eitzim l'sorfo, yehe yoshev ubatel. Right, because if you require getting rid of chametz only through, burning, because chametz is such a grave isser that I should obviously get rid of it in the most complete way possible, and I know that because even lesser isurim I have to get rid of in the most complete way possible. That sounds like you're saying, well, I have a chumra by chametz because of how machmir chametz is that I have to get rid of it by burning it. The problem is that's a chumra hamevi lidei kula in a sense. Because what if you can't light a fire? I mean, you can't just toss this out. You have no other means of getting rid of it. You're not allowed to. What if you can't find a fire? What if you can't start a fire? You don't have what it takes. Then what's going to happen is just going to be sitting there, right? And then your inability to build a fire, which you thought you were being machmir on to only get rid of it through a fire, actually may leave you with chametz that you can't get rid of in any other way. So yes, the transgression of chametz is so machmir. You may think that the best way to get rid of it is through the machmir means of burning it. The problem with burning it is that you're not always going to be able to burn it. In which case, you may find yourself in a situation where you're being more makel on chametz because of your inability to burn it. And that's why it's not a good kal v'chomer. Because who's to say that you're being more machmir by burning it? You may be being more makel by burning it because it's a less available form of getting rid of it. So we know that you can't just let it sit there because the Torah says that you have to get rid of it. And the implication is, in any means, in any way that you can get rid of it, you have to go about getting rid of it. Chazar Yehuda v'dano din acher. So Yehuda went back and, okay, he said, okay, so then this is how you should learn that you should only burn it through, you should only get rid of it through burning. Notar asar v'achila. You may not eat notar, leftover korban, pass it's a lot of time for eating. The chametz, aser b'achila. And chametz, furthermore, is prohibited to be eaten. Ma notar b'sreifa, af chametz b'sreifa. So just like notar, once you can no longer eat it, you have to burn it. So to chametz, when you can no longer eat it, you have to burn it. So that's not a kal v'chomer, that's what's called a binyan av. We were talking about that the other day. I established kind of my paradigm for, okay, these things are aser b'achila. And now I'm going to compare any Isser Achila to this and assume that they have the same deen, unless you give me a reason to assume that they're not the same case. Right? But as of right now, I have two similar cases, Notar and Chametz. So I'm going to make a binyan up, just like Notar should be burnt when at the point you can no longer eat it. So Chametz should be burnt at the point you can no longer eat it. Amrulo, so they responded to him, Nevela Tochiach, Shasur Be'achila, Ve'ena Tuna Sreifa. And they said, no. We have this case of nevela, right? Now, a nevela is aser b'achila, but we know explicitly that nevela does not require burning, in which case your assumption is inaccurate. You want to make this binyan av, that things that are aser b'achila are going to be require burning when they become aser, but a nevela is aser b'achila and doesn't require burning, and so the assumption that you make to link the two is an improper assumption. Amar Lamser, if you just responds to them, hefresh, says, no, there's a difference. Nevela is not, I mean, chametz and notar are similar to one another, such that it created this binyan av. But nevela is different, and that's why it doesn't pose a problem to the binyan av. Notar asur b'achilo b'ana, v'chametz asur b'achilo b'ana, ma notar ta'un sreifa, av chametz ta'un sreifa. Because chametz and notar are both asur b'achila and asur b'ana. You can't get benefit from them. But nevela is not asur b'ana, you can't use nevela to disprove my binyan av when the two things that I'm dealing with are like concepts. They're aser b'achila and b'hana, in which case I'm going to assume they have the same din. You can't come in and say, well, I have this third thing that doesn't have the same din, and so that disproves your binyan av. That third thing is different. It doesn't share that same common quality. Rulos, the Rabbana responded to him, Shor haniskal yochiach. Oh yeah, well, what about Shor haniskal? Still doesn't require burning. So this binyan av that you created, that is, if there's an isra achila and if there's an isra hana on something, then what you would have to do is burn it. And we see that by notar, and then through a binyan av, I'm gonna apply that to chametz as well. That's in an inappropriate binyan av. Why? Because we already know that something else that meets both those criteria, like the Shor HaNiskal, the ox is supposed to be put to death, there's no sreifa by the ox, so we reject your binyan av. Amar Lehem, Hefresh. No, but there's a difference there. That's not a good rejection. Notar asur b'achila v'ana v'anish karet. V'chametz asur b'achila v'ana v'anish karet. Right? Chametz and notar still share more common properties, right? Because they're asur b'achila and they're asur b'ana, and the punishment you get for eating them is karet. However, you don't get an iser karet for eating the shor haniskal, in which case it doesn't break my binyan av. I still built a common category. That category is anything that is both aser b'achila and hana, and the punishment is karet for them, must be burnt. I taught that explicitly by Notar, and I can apply it to similar cases like Chametz. And I've yet to find a similar case that meets all of those criteria and isn't burnt. And so my opinion of is still intact. Manotar v'sreifav, Chametz v'sreifav. Amrulo, is it him? Chelvo shel shor niskal yochiach. No. The chelev of the shor niskal is the rejection to that binyan av, right? The forbidden fat. Why? Shasur b'achilav anav anush karet. Because the chelev of the shor niskal is usur to eat it. It's usur b'hana'a. And what's the punishment for it? Karet ve'en tavon sreifa. And it doesn't require sreifa. So you wanted to build this concept, Rabbi Yehuda, that anything that is asur be'achila, that notar is asur be'achila and hana'a and gets karet. And therefore I'm going to say anything that meets that category of asur be'achila and be'hana'a and you get karet for is also must be burnt like notar. And I apply that to chametz. Only problem is I have another thing that meets that category that you do not have that din by. So it's an inappropriate binyan av. Now, if I were Rav Yehuda here, I think I would have an easy response. I've been looking to the Rishonim to know why he doesn't respond this. But here, there are two different isurim causing this reality. Meaning this isn't the criteria of chelev. Chelev is an iser karet. Shor haniskal is iser achila and iser hana'a. Right? So only once you mix the fact that it's a shor haniskal with the chelev, you have two different isurim here that are creating that when combined have the criteria of iser achila, iser hana'a, and punishable by karet. Whereas by chametz and notar in that binyan av, it's one iser. The Isser of Chametz is one Isser. You're not allowed to eat Chametz. There's also an Isser Hana'a about the Chametz. And it's punishable by Karet. And the same exact thing goes for Notar. However, in order to get the Chelev of the Shor Haniskal, we have to say the Isser of Chelev, which is independent, when it happens to coincide with the Isser of Shor Haniskal, you have all these criteria. Okay, but you need two different Isserim for this. You need two different reasons for this to be usher. I don't know why that poses a problem to review Yehuda's binyan av. Seemingly, you could have just said this is a totally different case. Here, you have two isurim functioning to produce that product, where I have one isur functioning to produce the product. Your chelev and the shor niskal is two coincidental isurim that collide together. That's what I would have said, but I haven't looked up the Rishonim as to why that's not a good response. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't respond that way. Instead, Chaz Rabbi Yehuda v'dano dino acher. So Rabbi Yehuda went back on it and it made a different din. Notar yeshno b'balto tiru. By notar, there's this halacha that you're not allowed to leave over anything. V'chametz b'balto tiru. Furthermore, chametz is an isur of leaving over. Manotar b'sreifa, chametz b'sreifa. So just like notar, leftover sacrificial meat, should be burned, so too chametz needs to be burned. Amrulo, so they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Asham Taloi Vechatat Ha'ov Habala Safik. Habala Safik. Lidivrecha Yochiach. So here they get really charif. And they say, okay, you want to build this binyan av based on notar because it has a unique category in that it's Baal Totiru, there's an explicit isr not to leave over from it. And chametz, there's Baal Totir, and explicitly not to leave over from it. One serefa, so the other is serefa. Well, I'll give you another example that kind of breaks your binyan av. Why? And by the way, it breaks your binyan av according to your own shita, right? And those cases are an asham talui, right? Which is a korban you bring for something that you don't know if you did wrong. And a chatat of, which also comes in a suffix situation, a doubtful situation. And from your own shita, I can prove that this breaks your opinion of Shehein b'Baal Totiru, because there's an Isser b'Baal Totiru by Chatat Ha'of and by Asham Taloi. She'anu Omrim b'Sreifa, and we say there's an Isser b'Baal Totiru, and we, the Rabbanan, say you should burn it. But you, Rabbi Yehuda, say you shouldn't burn it, you should bury it. So these korbanot meet the criteria that you built for your binyan av, which connected chametz to notar. And yet we have another thing that meets that criteria, and you yourself from Yehuda say that the solution here is not to burn it. In which case, you don't have a proper binyan av, because we ruined your binyan av by bringing an example that meets the criteria, you don't burn it. Shatak Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda was silent, and in response, the Amoraim kind of produced ideas based on what just happened to Rabbi Yehuda, where his own shita was used against him. Amar Yosef, Hayim Adam Reinchi, this is similar to what people say, kapa dechata nagara, right? So the vessel that the person made hollow, begava nisrav chardala, he ended up burning his tongue with the mustard he was eating out of it, meaning he brought about his own demise. Arabai sadana besadana yativ, right? That the person who made the shackle will sit in his own shackles. Midvil yade mishtalem, and he is basically paid back through the work of his own hands. Rava Amar giyara begire maktil, that someone who makes someone who makes arrows is killed by an arrow. Midvil yade mishtalem, right? He's like paid back by his own handiwork. I think the person who invented the Segway died in a Segway accident. Like, that's kind of the idea here, is Rav Yehuda made this statement, and then they ended up using that statement to disprove his own shita. We'll stop here.